Now, here's your host, Tom Donahue, an investigative broadcaster and a man on a mission.
Good day and welcome, America and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports. So glad you can be with us this week. And I just have to say that, I've been pretty right on about some of my political prognostications. And one of those happened to be Backstabber Bolton. Remember, I did more than one segment over the last several weeks past where I targeted and focused on the downside and the dark side of John Bolton. And you had Fox News and many of the Fox News contributors and the GOP in general that have been lockstep with Bolton and really never had issues with Bolton, except for in recent times, maybe Tucker Carlson. And now, of course, everyone's getting on the bandwagon. You know, when I said that Trump should have never, ever hired him for anything, for any reason. And Trump knew better. There's no question about that. Trump knew that he was a neocon. Trump knew all along that he was the architect of the neocons for the weapons of mass destruction that never were. And that he is a bloodluster. You know, he loves these bloody conflicts and wars. And for whatever reason, I don't know. But he is, as much as I despise Rudy G, meaning Giuliani, he called him a backstabber. So he got that one right. But I don't know what it is about Trump that just loves to hire people. And he knows, he has to know. Now, he's not a genius, but he's not dumb either. He's got street smarts. He has a knack for understanding the human condition and human nature. But for whatever reason, he keeps making very poor executive personnel decisions. I don't know why. You know, we're right now in the whole, you know, impeachment this, impeachment that. And we've got the Senate trial. And we know that when the verdict is rendered, whether it's an acquittal or it's a dismissal or just as a non-factor, because there's no way that Trump is going to be ejected from the presidency of the United States. So again, it's very troubling, deeply disturbing that Bolton has decided he's going to write a book. actually has written a book. And he wants to have this book published soon. And he's not concerned about whether things are classified. He's not concerned about whether these things will hurt Trump, hurt this country. It's all about the money, the power, the prestige. But there's no political loyalty. And there's no patriotism and no honor. Well, if you're a neocon, how could you be? When you don't put your country first, and you're a globalist and internationalist, and someone that sees themselves as part of the wise club, the wise men. So Bolton has written this book, and that he's saying that there is a quid pro quo, and he's now saying that he's very critical of Trump's call. And Trump's actions as it pertains to vis-a-vis the Ukraine, the president, the ambassador, etc. But there has been video and audio surfacing where Bolton was actually very complimentary of Trump and had no qualms, at least publicly, with Trump's handling of the Ukraine. So which way is it, Mr. Bolton? And again, I had talked about, you know, Bolton should bolt, that Bolton should never have been hired. He certainly, early on, absolutely should have been fired. But Trump, you know, let him stay on. as he continued to create more and more damage. And you have to remember his prior positions in the Bush administration, the Bush-Cheney regime. You know, he is part of the deep state. Now, the deep state is not just left-wing. It's not just liberal progressive. It is internationalist. It's globalist. It is supranational. You know, it's UN. It's everything that's world affairs, not, you know, how America should be put first and foremost. So Bolton, and you don't have to be in office to be part of the deep state, the dark state. And so there are many of both that are from the left and the right that constitute and that consist of the backbone of the New World Order, the globalist order, you know, the internationalist, the neocons. So again, I just wish Trump would make better decisions. Yes, he's accomplishing a lot. Yes, I will vote for him. Yes, I want to see him reelected. Yes, he's the best choice, bar none. And do I believe he'll be reelected? Yes, I do. But again, unlike Hannity and Rashbo and various others, I will criticize when someone is deserving of that. I will praise them. I will tout all the accomplishments. No, there's no doubt about that. How effective has Trump been as a leader, and how much more effective could he be if he would choose the right people out of the gate, and that he would, if there is a problem with someone, you know, whether for whatever reasons he hires someone, make sure they leave a lot sooner, like Jeff Sessions, Giuliani, another screwball decision, and another reckless, abandoned type hire. And because Rudy knows too much, that's why. And again, he's good buds with Trump, but sadly, he's still there, and he's still creating more havoc and mayhem in the media and taking these trips to the Ukraine. But he is right about Bolton. He is a backstabber. And Bolton is someone that is a true believer in globalism, internationalism. And you can say otherwise, but his record speaks volumes. Okay. And I've done prior programs. I've done rants. I've done exposés on John Bolton, the neocons, the New World Order, the globalists, you know, the deep state, the dark state. And so if you people feel that, or at least some of you, that Bolton, well, because Fox News embraced him at one time, and because he says he's conservative, and he's conservative on some issues, and he worked for the Bushes, you know, and the Cheneys. Well, that doesn't tell me a dang thing. A matter of fact, let me just tell you, if you really still believe he's a patriot and a good guy, and that, you know, Trump and others are getting it wrong now, well, then I'll tell you, take a trip down Numbnuts Lane, go to Nimrodsville or Knucklehead Theater, okay? And you can get the flock out. And again, if the hearing aid isn't turned up, loud enough or high enough, if you're, you know, not listening intently, let me spell it for you. F-L-O-C-K. And again, it's not a play on words. And I don't use that kind of language. Okay. There are other programs you can go to for that. I keep it clean, but I keep it honest. Okay. And I'm very direct. I'm truthful, but I try to be tactful as well. So anyway, so Bolton has created havoc now, for sure, because of his own personal and political self-interest as it relates to writing this book that nobody's going to read. No one cares, okay? And even Fox News is turning on him. Well, just because they're the guardians of Trump, which is, I mean, that is actually a good thing. But if Hannity would have told, or Rush would have told Trump early on, don't hire this guy, he probably wouldn't have hired him. Unfortunately, he did. And unfortunately, he let, I mean, he gave him the keys to the kingdom. If you, I mean, if you're a national security advisor or you're a secretary of state, I mean, if you're not a trusted ally, if you're not someone that you wholeheartedly believe in, and you've got their back and they've got your back, well, then, I mean, you are basically opening up this country. You're opening up yourself politically to someone that can absolutely destroy and can annihilate your political life, your agenda. I mean, and we saw Bolton doing this, undermining Trump with North Korea, undermining Trump in the Gulf region, you know, and various other, you know, well, the Ukraine as well. But I mean, there's many, many places where there was rumblings coming out about, you know, how Bolton felt. I mean, again, I don't think Trump has handled some foreign situations in the best manner. But nevertheless, Bolton is bad news. Bolton should have never been hired, should have been fired much earlier. Matter of fact, I would like to see Bolton brought up on charges, very serious charges, as a homicidal, serial killing maniac, for all his foreign policy blunders of the past. And that might sound a little bit strong, but, you know, I'm a believer that Bush, Cheney, and various other high level officials and, prior, and other presidents and other secretaries of defense and secretaries of state, and national security advisors, they're all going to be in a fiery, unpleasant, hotbed place, okay, someday. Because, you know, the foreign policy interventionist, internationalist, globalist, New World Order, Dark Order, Deep State, related policies that have committed genocide in the world, that have committed mass murder for many times illegitimate and sometimes, of course, unnecessary reasons. And I think that they will be held accountable by Almighty God, okay? That's the way I see it. If you don't, well, so be it. I have to say that in conclusion for this segment, and we'll be moving on to other subjects this week, is that Bolton needs to be dealt with, and Trump needs to really come on strong here. I do not believe that the Bolton book, the Bolton potential testimony, the Bolton betrayal, backstabbing, chicanery, skullduggery will undermine the president in the long term. And I have warned against Bolton. I have done everything in my power to enlighten the populace that this guy is on the dark side. This guy's on the wrong side of history. He's on the wrong side of patriotism. And that's the way I see it. More subjects to come, more topics to cover, more rundown, more lowdown. Hold tight, right back, Tom Donahue Show.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store. Now, back to the Tom Donahue Show, putting America first and patriotism in action.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue. Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports. What we're going to do here in this segment is I'm going to re-air my comments and commentary as it related to Bolton a little ways ago, and I think it's still relevant. I think you'll still find it timely and certainly informative. So here we go. Welcome, Tom Donahue Reports, Tom Donahue Rant. I just have to report on this, and that is about the Big B, and that's for Bolton. And Bolton should bolt from this administration, from our country, quite frankly, and from a civilized world, even though it is, to a degree, uncivilized just about anywhere and everywhere, especially in certain quadrants of the world. But John Bolton, there was an article, and the story is quite a good one, and it comes from the Guardian, and it's entitled, "Is John Bolton the Most Dangerous Man in the World?" Question mark. Well, he's not in the upper echelon of the New World Order, but in terms of a foot soldier, in terms of someone as a warmonger, someone that is about as disreputable and dishonest as it relates to foreign affairs, and being a crown jewel of neocons, yes. Now, this neocon, in fact, let me just quote from this article. It says, "The U.S. is closer to war with Iran than it has been since the Bush years, or perhaps ever. Bolton is largely to blame. Donald Trump's national security advisor, John Bolton, wants the United States to go to war with Iran. And we know this because he's been saying it for nearly two decades." The question is, and we're talking about leadership as it relates to the president, why did he select, or was he told by higher forces within the universe? And we're not talking about spiritual, although there are demonic forces too. But something's not right here. Trump will laugh off and say, "I like all points of view," and he likes conflict, and he feels that eventually, you know, conflicting opinions and points of view and perspectives will boil to a head, and then he'll decide. I'm not quite sure about that. And why would you put someone, in my view, that's so sinister and would do anything to undermine you as it relates to getting us into World War III or any war, anywhere, anytime? I mean, this guy has got a bloodlust, okay? So we should ban Bolton. Bolton should bolt, and that's the way I see it. But Donald Trump is to blame here. You know, unless we're missing something here, he is the president of the United States, and for whatever reason, he chose him. Again, Bolton does come from Fox News, so maybe Hannity said, "Hey, you can control him, and, you know, John's a good walrus," you know? No, he's a disgrace to all walruses, because walruses have a higher mentality and morality, okay? But yeah, I have real issues with weapons of mass destruction, and there weren't. And just getting us into other wars and conflicts. You know, he's the architect for the neocons. And when you think of neocons, you have to think of New World Order. And so even though he might be conservative in some ways, and he travels in conservative circles, well, so does Romney, and so do the Bushes. And let's just put it this way. Fox News would be supportive right now if it was Romney, for the most part. Remember, you know, Hannity would sit down when Bush is painting, and or when Bush was out at the ranch, and there was never even a hardball question. for either Bushes. You know, it's opportunism. And it's, and the fact is that if you just have the GOP mantle, they'll be supported by Fox News primarily. They will, you know, I'm glad that they are in large part supporting Trump, but you can't have fawning media. If you have the fake media, then, and fake news, then how could you have the fawning media and Fox News with a few exceptions? And then Trump says they should be fired. Well, Trump doesn't have an ownership stake. Well, as far as I know, then again, maybe there's an underlying agreement. There is a pact there between the Murdochs, Trump, Hannity, a conservative cartel. Even Savage talks about that, and cabal. And I've mentioned that before. It's not just left and right, and it's not just good versus evil, because there's good and evil. But maybe there's more good in the quote-unquote conservative movement, as opposed to the liberal progressive movement in terms of morality. I agree. But nevertheless, you know, there are some very evil, demonic forces that are going to certainly, if you believe like I do, or at least in similar ways, that there are spiritual forces and there is the battle of good and evil, then do you think the demonic forces, the dark side, and again, we have that dark state, the deep state, do you think that they're just going to prey on just one side of the aisle, or just stay, you know, involved, you know, like there's some kind of like artificial divide there? No, they're going to try to, we're talking about the demons, we're talking about, you know, the satanic forces themselves. You know, Satan will try to work both sides of the aisle. Okay. That's the way I see it. So yes, I think that it's very important that we speak out. And unfortunately, where's Rush? Where's Hannity? Where's Levin in all this? Now, I will give credit where credit's due. And there's been a lot of good efforts in supporting a president that actually likes to dig his own grave. Matter of fact, Trump's worst enemy is himself. Because why did he pick Bolton? You know, that's going to be the billion-dollar question. He likes to talk about billions for years to come. And if you look at the turnstile, which we talked about last week, and we look at poor leadership decisions, something has to be done. You know, I think he believes that it's controlled chaos. Well, I think it's uncontrolled chaos. And I don't believe that tumult leads to triumph. And I think that there is forces, malevolent forces, that are helping to destroy the Trump administration from within. And that's the family members. That's people that have been there longer than they should be. That's prior forces that have already exited for, you know, news jobs and talk radio jobs. And well, I guess some of them are, you know, spending time in prison. If you really look at, and you can judge a person by not only their words, but their deeds and the people that they surround themselves with. And yes, we can all make mistakes in judgment. But if you're with someone, you know, more than a dozen years, and I don't remember the exact number, that the enforcer, you know, his fixer and enforcer, Michael Cohen, you can just see, I mean, this was degenerate filth. I mean, this was just, you know, abject scum. And why you would associate yourself with someone like that and ingratiate yourself, I don't know. But there's many poor decisions that have been made. Quite frankly, yes, there would have been Democrat investigations, but there would be no special counsel, or at least there wouldn't have been, if there wasn't a Jeff Sessions, and the artist known as the recuser, because, you know, and if Comey had been fired, right, you know, I mean, let go when, you know, like a normal administration would turn certain cabinet heads over, then there wouldn't have been these difficulties. And when you go to NBC News and Lester Forehead Holt and say things that are quite frankly contradicting the things that you had said prior about conversations with Comey and others in the administration, and then these words come back to haunt you, and you volunteer to put yourself in the hot seat, you know, there's nobody in the right mind, even though I know you worked with and for NBC with the Apprentice, Celebrity Apprentice, but there is no compelling interest to do interviews with NBC, MSNBC, CBS. It's very few and far between in the established, controlled corporate media that you'll see any fairness. That's my rant for the week. I'm Tom Donahue. More to come.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Now, back to the Tom Donahue Show, liberty-loving and freedom-fighting.
Okay, we are back. Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports. And I'm going to share with you another filed report, an actual update to the report we did on cryptocurrencies, digital currencies. And what prompted us to add to our prior reporting on this was I discovered an article that was written by Reuters entitled "Central Banks Join Forces to Look at Future Digital Currencies." So when I sent that along to Angeline, I had already been thinking about doing an update, and she was a step ahead and filed a report, which is really kind of an addendum to what we already reported on, and she so aptly shared her expertise and her research. So here is the continuation, an addendum to that report, as it relates to digital currencies, the future of digital currencies, and the central bank's connection to those currencies.
So, Tom, you sent me an article this week on the central banks and how they're now looking into creating their own digital currencies. A couple weeks ago, I did a report on cryptocurrency, and I explained how cryptocurrency came about, the basics of cryptocurrency, how it functions on a blockchain technology, and what that meant in terms of a decentralized and centralized system of crypto. And also, I talked about the announcement that Facebook made of its own cryptocurrency called Libra, and the Libra Association, which would be the governing body of the Libra crypto. And back when I was investigating for that report, I was watching the House Financial Services Committee, and they had Mark Zuckerberg on there talking about his Libra and why it was such a great idea. And I wondered when I was watching that testimony he gave, because it sounded to me like he would be in competition with the central banks, because he was basically saying they would offer this currency and services, financial services, for a much lower rate than what the centralized banking has typically done. And I thought, well, gosh, how could the central banks let him compete with them? And then as I did more research on Libra, as I said in my last report, I sort of think Mark Zuckerberg is just the face of crypto, and I suspected that the central banks were behind the whole thing to begin with, but that he was the face because he's the one that built the Facebook empire. So why not choose him to do the cashless society empire, the Libra, or the cryptocurrency? So here we go. You send me this article this week from Reuters on central banks and how they want to issue their own digital currency. Surprise, surprise, right? So in this article, they said a rising number now of central banks are starting to think about issuing their own digital currency, and that some 66 central banks surveyed said that they were likely to issue their own digital currency within the next 6 years, and that 80% of central banks are now looking into the technology. So as we can see, crypto, or as I see it, as a cashless society move, is now on the uptake, right? So more of these centralized banks are getting interested in it. So that's basically what the article you sent me is about. But what it had me do is look more into Libra. And I have to make a correction on my last report, because after you sent me this article, it had me looking into Libra once again, and there is a correction that I want to make, because in my last report, I was telling everybody that Libra was on a blockchain, and at that point in time, I thought because it was on a blockchain system that it would be decentralized, because that was the whole point of the blockchain for Bitcoin crypto, was that it would be decentralized. In other words, the control would be amongst those that are participating and not a central authority. And that was the whole point of a decentralized blockchain financial system. So Libra has coined itself as a decentralized on the blockchain. But what I in fact found out from a Financial Times reporter is that this is not the case at all. Although part of Libra's technology could be considered blockchain, in reality, it's not. The Financial Times report brought out that Libra is on a supposed blockchain, but Facebook is going to be recording and tracking all transactions. So there won't be anonymous players in this. So really, the tracking factor centralizes Libra. In other words, they're going to control the transactions, which really then makes it not at all like a real blockchain system. Because if Facebook is tracking and keeping control, then the whole blockchain is null and void. I mean, the whole decentralized characteristics is not there. And so this doesn't surprise me. And in fact, that's what I said, although what I had said in my first report is I thought the Libra Association would sort of be the proxy that controls, so that it looked like Facebook was separated from all of it. But you know what, folks? That's not true. Facebook is right smack in the middle of this. So although the technology may be associated with a sort of blockchain technology, it really doesn't act like the decentralized blockchain system that cryptocurrency in general has been known for. To me, this is just a play on words. It's Facebook's play on words. Oh, we're on the blockchain, but what they don't tell you is that they're still controlling every stinking move that anybody makes. So the association and Facebook will be in control of the Libra. In my opinion, this is not just a minor detail. And as a matter of fact, what the Financial Times report said is that all of the Libra Association partners that paid a mere $10 million each to be on board, they will all have control or a quote-unquote paid interest on this Libra system. Another thing I talked about was why would Facebook do this, and Mark Zuckerberg was telling the House Financial Services Committee that, oh, it was due to their wanting to help the unbanked, the more unfortunate class around the world be able to participate in commerce. And they were making it sound like they really cared. And I think that's also a bunch of bunk. And I'm going to end this report with a report by Jemima Kelly. She's a reporter I believe, for the Financial Times. She's the one that put out this report that crystallized for me the reality of why Facebook is participating in this game and that it really has nothing to do with helping the unbanked. So I'm going to close with this report from the Financial Times reporter Jemima Kelly on the Facebook Libra coin and the truth behind this whole hoax.
Facebook has announced its new Libra coin to much fanfare and media attention, but it's fair to say that we at Alphaville remain skeptical. So we've started a series called Breaking the Zuckbuck, in which we examine Mark Zuckerberg's new baby and explain what we think is wrong with it. Myth number one, a blockchain is what will allow Libra to function. Libra is meant to be supported by what's been called the Libra blockchain, which is described as a decentralized programmable database. But we'd argue that the Libra blockchain is not, in fact, a blockchain, as some of the defining characteristics of a blockchain are missing. Whereas in a normal blockchain, like the one underpinning Bitcoin, blocks of transactions are hashed down and added to a chain of other blocks, hence the word blockchain, Libra will use neither blocks nor a chain. Instead, Libra will be a single data structure that records the history of transactions and states over time. Facebook says that because it uses technology that's associated with blockchains, such as Merkle trees, Byzantine consensus protocols, and other complex cryptography, it should be called a blockchain. But we don't think Facebook should get to decide what a blockchain means. And furthermore, it doesn't need a blockchain for what it's trying to achieve. Myth number two, Libra is decentralized. So Libra says that it's a decentralized system, but we think calling it that is a stretch. Unlike cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin, Libra won't use the proof of work mechanism that incentivizes miners to keep the network going. Instead, Facebook and the other 27 founding partners of the Libra Association will run their own nodes that validate Libra transactions. The partners include Uber, PayPal, and MasterCard. And each one has paid $10 million for the privilege. Facebook says Libra will move to a more decentralized, permissionless system in the future, but we don't have any details on how and when that will happen. Myth number three, Libra can magically reduce cross-border payment fees. These fees are high, not just because of technological issues, but political and regulatory ones associated with the complicated process of moving money from one jurisdiction to another. Although it's true that many banks still charge extortionate rates for cross-border transfers and remittance payments, we already have many companies working on making those fees lower, like TransferWise and Revolut. There's no reason to believe Libra can lower those costs further. And as long as people still use central bank money as their primary means of payment, they'll still have to somehow exchange that money into Libra, which will come with a cost. Myth number four, Libra is about helping the unbanked. Facebook wants you to think that the reason they're doing all of this is because they want to increase financial inclusion and to bring in the 1.7 billion adults around the world who remain outside the banking system. But it's not clear how the unbanked will be able to buy Libra if they have no bank account, particularly if Libra wants to keep regulators happy by doing proper checks on its users to avoid money laundering. Libra is also unlikely to help people in countries with rapidly depreciating currencies, as those countries tend to put in capital controls to prevent a run on their bank. Facebook has never shown much interest in the unbanked before, and we're not sure why it's suddenly so interested. Myth number five, Libra legitimizes Bitcoin. Libra calls itself a low volatility cryptocurrency, but just as the Libra blockchain isn't a real blockchain, Libra coin isn't a real cryptocurrency either. That's because it's issued by a centralized entity, doesn't run on a real blockchain, and rather than being to the whims of crypto markets, is pegged to a basket of fiat currency. So it's much more akin to something like the Gemini dollar, the stablecoin issued by the Winklevoss twins exchange. And it's probably not a coincidence that the twins' longtime rival, Mark Zuckerberg, chose another star sign for the name of his. Overall, we think that the use of the words blockchain and cryptocurrency is more about PR value than substance, like many such projects. For Facebook, maybe it's also about getting regulators to smile upon them.
Talk
Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store. Now, back to the Tom Donahue Show. Liberty loving and freedom fighting.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue. Tom Donahue Show, Tom Donahue Reports. So glad you can be with us. And I have to say that in wrapping up this week's program, that, well, we've had the impeachment hoax, scam, charade, and debacle, because it was a complete demonic debacle. Trump has been empowered now with the Senate trial behind us and his acquittal. And so, in many ways, not only has Trump been empowered, but Trump is now taking a victory lap and a vindication lap, and he is on a retribution tour. And so, or retribution lap, if you will. And I have to say that there is a tremendous amount of momentum behind the president. Now, the president still doing things and saying things that I do believe he will be impeached again. You heard me right. I'm not saying it's necessarily going to happen this year, but it could. And then he'll be acquitted in the Senate. But I think we're going to have redos here, you know, rematches. And I think that the Dems will, because I truly wholeheartedly believe that Trump's going to win in very big fashion. I believe he'll be reelected in a landslide. And I believe that whomever his opponent will be, they will be demolished. However, we do have a lot of illegals that vote. We do have voting irregularities as it relates to tallying of the votes, the recording and the transmission of the votes. So anything is possible, but there's so much more I want to report on, and this is an abbreviated segment because we went long on other segments, and thanks to the affiliates for always granting us that latitude of creativity and program production. So we do appreciate that, and we appreciate the loyalty of our affiliates and also the loyalty of our listeners, because there have been times that we do re-air shows. And that I'm still kind of working towards how I want to format this and how I want to continue producing the program for 2020. But nevertheless, you know, Trump triumphs again. The Teflon Trump, or the Teflon Don, as we know that expression. And he's empowered. He's emboldened. He's brazen. And we got a heck of a 2020 ride ahead of us here. So until we meet again, I'm Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Program and for Tom Donahue Reports and Tom Donahue Podcasts. You can always find out more and communicate with us through TomDonahueReports.com.
the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.